Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee, terrific service departments that backs it all up every step of the way. And make sure that your buying experience is even greater because it's backed up by guys like that and women like that. Always looking for more technicians. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Neil Coulong today. Mark Brennan on the show tomorrow. High School Roundtable on Thursday. King on Thursday. I think that's what we have scheduled right now. And we're going to start out with an interesting coaches show last night. And that is Dabo Swinney, who last night, you know, he has his weekly show with Dan Munson. Dan's one, the really good guy, like Dan personally. He hosted the show last night. And it was interesting, to say the least. And so I believe, I'm trying to find it for you from his radio show as to what. That way you can actually hear the caller and hear what he had to say. Because it's courtesy of Learfield. And you're like, you know, we're Learfield. We're Learfield, so why not? And it was interesting. It's called Tiger Calls, right? So, I believe, let me see, make sure I have it here for you. Give it another shot here, see how it goes. But yeah, it was one of those last night, like...
To accept...
All right. What's this guy's name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler.
Why are we paying you $11.5 million to go 4-4? And it's not just this year.
Oops, don't do
it's
that.
It's been, you know, just the refusal to accept...
All right. What's this guy's name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler. I've listened to enough of you, Tyler. Listen, you can have all your opinions that you want. All right? I don't know how old you are. Don't really care, all right? But let me tell you something. We won 11 games last year, and you're part of the problem, to be honest with you, because that is part of the problem. It's people like you that do that. All you do is the appreciation, the expectation is greater than the appreciation, and that's the problem. And so, you know, we've won 12 10-plus win year, seasons in a row. That's happened three times in 150 years. So if you want to know why... Clemson ain't sniffed a national championship for 35 years. We've won two in 7 years. And there's only two other teams that can say that, Georgia and Alabama. Okay? Is this a bad year? Is this a – yeah. And it's my responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for it. But all this bull crap you're thinking, all these narratives you read, listen, man, you can have your opinion all you want. And you can apply for the job. And good luck to you. All right? But to answer your question – all right, we're second in draft picks. We've graduated 98% of our guys. We're second in wins. All right? If you'd want to know why, again, I'm telling you, we're not perfect. There's a lot of teams that, you know, Frank Howard never had a bad year. Coach Ford never had a bad year. Coach K has never had a bad year in basketball. People have a bad year. But the part of the problem is the appreciation. I used to tell people all the time, they'd say, what's the difference in Clemson? Let me tell you. At some places, there's an expectation, but at Clemson, there's an appreciation. And what's happened at Clemson is we've won so much that even when it used to be the fun's in the winning. Now, even when you win, people like you complain and criticize the coaches and question everything. People like you, all right, when I hired Tony Elliott to be the offensive coordinator who never called a play in his life, I'm sure you were critical then. All right, and he took us to two national championships. People like you who just love to destroy people with your comments, all right? I'm sure you've never made any bad decisions. I'm sure you've lived a perfect life. I'm sure you've led a bunch of people. I'm sure you do your job in front. So to answer your question, I started as the lowest paid coach in this freaking business. All right? And I'm where I am because I've worked my ass off every single day. And I ain't going to let some smart-ass kid get on this phone and create this stuff. So if you got a problem with that, I don't care. All right? I work for the Board of Trustees, the President, and the AD. And if they're tired of me leading this program, all they got to do is let me know. I'll go somewhere else where there is an appreciation. All right? It's not just winning. It's how you win. And we are in this is a tough year, but we've had 10-plus win seasons in a row. 12. We lost to Tennessee last year. They won 11 games for the first time in like 20 years. We've had 8-11 win seasons in whatever, 11 years or whatever. We've won two national championships. Clemson went 35 years, all right, probably since before you were born, your whole freaking life. And we've won two in 7 years. And we earned it. And we beat the best of the best to do it. The best of the best. 10-plus win seasons. So if you want to know why, that's why. Am I perfect? Nope. I'm far from it. I am a man of faith. Absolutely. All right? I'm 53 years old, and there ain't one thing in my life. I have been a part of failure many times, but there ain't one thing in my life that I've ever failed at, Tyler. Never. All right? Ever. I wanted to get an education. I got 2 degrees. I wanted to be the first college in my graduate, my family. I did it. I wanted to go play football at Alabama. I earned a scholarship, lettered 3 years, worked my ass off, won a national championship. I wanted to get into coaching. I worked my way to being a head coach. And when I got this job, and I'm sure you didn't want me to get this job, all right, and 15 years later, I'm still here, and I'd say the results are what they are, and I stand on them. So you don't ever have to call back. I wanted to get married. I've been married for going on 30 years. I wanted to be a father. I've raised 3 great sons. If you don't like how I run the program, don't be a fan. I don't care. But I'm the head coach, and I'm going to do what I believe is right for the long term of this program, what's best for the players, and what I think's best for the moment. If you got a problem with that, that's fine. But you're not. I'm not going to sit here and let you call. I don't give a crap how much money I make. You ain't going to talk to me like I'm 12 years old. You'd be freaking kidding me.
Yeah, that was his response to Tyler from Spartanburg last night, who essentially asked, well, gee, you're talking about $11.5 million and we're 4-4, talking about his salary. And, yeah, that's the answer he gave last night. 5.5-minute answer. So, there you go. So let's take a couple of points on that. Number one, everything he said about, remember what the old saying used to be. it was called Clemsoning. He could get to a certain point and couldn't get over the hump, whatever. It was meant to be an insult. And he's right. When he got the job, people were like, what? Like him, he's the wide receiver coach. Why the, So there were people that were critical when he got the job. They weren't really sure and didn't really know much about him when he stepped in as the interim. Because what he did was he compared, the caller also compared him to Tommy Bowden. Okay. And he also said that since they won in 2018, the caller said he had changed. And he cited Proverbs. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know which chapter, 16, 18 maybe, something like that. About pride. Sending you in a certain direction. And he was saying that, essentially, since they won in 2018, Dabo's changed. That's what the caller was saying to him. Okay. Among other things. And then when he gets to the, you know, for $11.5 million, we're 4-4. That was, in the end, what then had got Dabo going with the caller last night. And the if I actually have the caller, I'm not sure if I do or not. I think I do have the caller, so you can hear what the caller had to say. So what I'll do is I'll take a break, since we do have to take a break. We'll come back. You'll get to at least hear what the caller had to say to then go with the response. You already heard the response. But you should hear what the caller had to say. That way it'll give you better context. It was interesting. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, so I found the caller part of it. That way you can get the tone of the caller. It was Tyler from Spartanburg, and this is the caller courtesy of Tiger Talk and Learfield.
Appreciate everything you said, Coach Sweeney. It sounded a whole lot, and I'll tell you one thing. Tommy Bowden didn't make the same amount of money as you do. You make $11.5 million a year. That's second in college football, if I'm not mistaken. I'm curious why that salary has led to a 4-4. And I know we're going to talk about, you know, just being a couple plays away from undefeated and all that. And I know you're a man of religion. I'm a big fan, Coach. Before you categorize me as a, you know, being in the 1.5%, I was going to Clemson games, and my entire family, going back generations, has been going to Clemson games before, you know, when you were in commercial real estate. So I'm not going to accept being in that 1.5%. And I respect the fact that you're a man of faith. I'm curious if you've ever read Proverbs 16:18, which talks about pride coming before the fall. I was in the military, and I was overseas for the big run, and so I couldn't watch all the games. I tried my best, but I always watched your press conferences just for life advice, and I appreciated all that. Something changed after 2018. You're humble, you're hungry, and everything. And I always told people, man, Dabo, just listen to his press conferences. But after that 2018 national title, something changed. And there seems to be a lot of arrogance that came in. There was a lot of friends and family. I mean, 3 of the 10 on-field football coaches are external, experienced hires. Everyone else was an internal hire that had no experience before or was a former player or friend. So I'm curious, why are we paying you $11.5 million to go 4-4? And it's not just this year. It's been, you know, just the refusal to accept.
All right, all right. What's this guy's name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler. I've listened to enough of you, Tyler. You can.
And you heard the rest of it that I played earlier for you. I'm not going to replay it again. Interesting, I'll say, never dull day. So we'll talk a little bit about this. We'll do more in the next half hour about it. Saturday, Jack Ham and I were out in front of the tunnel at Beaver Stadium for about an hour, like we always are, for home games, taking questions and comments. And some of the questions were very pointed. Some of the comments were very pointed following the game at Ohio State. Some of the stuff said to us by a couple of people in the commercial breaks went a little bit more than pointed. Okay. And I made the comment on the show when we came back from the last commercial break. I said, just so everybody knows that I want the fan base to be a passionate fan base. I want the fan base to care. And Penn State has a very passionate fan base, because the worst thing you can have when you're in sports trying to attract people to your product is apathy. I'd rather have them be emotional. I would rather have them be into it. I would rather have them asking questions and in search of answers than having it be apathetic. So we'll talk about the Clemson situation in a moment. Because they are 4-4, and they've had tough games. I mean, they had a tough loss to Florida State. Overtime loss to Miami or NC State, and they lost to NC State as well. And last year, they got off to a tough start, and they then won the ACC title, ended up going, I think, 11-3, something like that. So we'll talk about where they are and about attitudes in a moment.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Neil Kulong at 2:06 today. Tomorrow at 1:30, Mark Brennan will join us on the show. Thursday, our high school roundtable is playoff football this week. And also the King on Thursday. And then I actually have a combination on Friday I have to take care of, so it'll be, I'm putting something together for Friday, just so you know. It's not just traveling to Maryland. Unfortunately, a close friend of mine tragically lost his son, and the funeral's Friday, and I'm going to make sure I'm there for it, so. Very, very hard, but... So that's what we have on the schedule for this week. Nothing really out of James Franklin's press conference today. I was over there before I came over. He was asked about any update on Trey Wallace. He said no. So no update on him. And Then he mentioned Caden Walls. So he says he thinks he'll be available for the game. Right. So I wasn't surprised he said that. But let's get to what Dabo Swinney did. So let's start. I want to start with this. I had mentioned before the news break at the bottom of the hour that I said on the pregame show on Saturday that I want a passionate fan base. And I've said that in this show, too. So believe me, anybody wants to call in and talk to me about whatever, you can always do it. I know the callers that we had after the Ohio State game on Monday, we had a lot of them, were all passionate, had really interesting comments, and had really good questions. And everything was done, everybody just talked. There was no yelling or anything like that. Everybody just talked, which I think it's good to just talk things out, because it's not, when I'm sitting here doing this job, the easy criticism is to say that if something isn't going right, then I'm making excuses. It's not quite the low-hanging fruit that you think. I think one of the jobs that I have in doing this show when it comes to discussing Penn State is because when you're around it a lot, it gives you an opportunity to not deliver an excuse, but give context. Context is important based on what you're seeing or what you're not seeing. And context, and that's what we try to do. It's not excuses. It's called, let's put this into context for you. That's why yesterday, for example, you know, everybody has gone through the minuses of what they saw on Saturday. I mean, did Penn State play its best game? No, of course not. Well, but I talked about yesterday about, but they won, and here are the reasons why they won, and it's because they work on certain things, and all the situations that come up in a game, they do a lot of situational football. And I went through the situations on Saturday where you can check the box and Penn State won that, Penn State won that, Penn State won that. They were prepared for it. That's context. And the Clemson fan base, and again, as I said earlier, I want the fan base to be engaged and I want the fan base to be passionate. I don't want them apathetic. I don't want them apathetic. And that's important. So whatever you may say about Tyler from Spartanburg, he's passionate. At the same time, he got personal. And that is where there has to be a line. Don't get personal. He got personal. When he's talking about the attitude of the coach changing after 2018, while a perception, that's personal. When you're talking about how much money he makes and what the record is, that's personal. Right? And so that, to me, is where he crossed the line, was when he made it personal. Instead of just asking the question as to, you know, you've been here a while, you've had success, why the lack of success this season? Why 4-4 when typically, right? But he made it personal. He made it personal about the money. He made it personal about religion, because he brought up Proverbs. He made it personal in terms of the first step toward going downhill, essentially, I think I'm paraphrasing, is pride.
Okay.
Well, that's personal. And that's where he, as a caller, he crossed the line. When you make it personal, like, okay, now you're straying into an area. Instead of, like, okay, asking questions. You know, it could go back to, coach, in the preseason you said, right, and now you're 4-4. Why? Okay. Well, you used a quote from the coach to then set up your question, and you asked a why question. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But The caller made it personal. So now let's get to the Clemson situation overall. Clemson fan base is an interesting fan base. Love their team, love their program, gorgeous campus, a lot of things going for them. Nice stadium. It's interesting, you know, you go into Clemson Stadium and you look around and you think, okay. And Penn State has 40,000 more seats. Wow. Or 30,000, I'm sorry, 30,000 more. Penn State has 30,000 more seats. Like, geez. Okay. When The Athletic did a story a couple of years ago on student apathy at games. It was really well done. And they had pointed out in the article that Arizona and Arizona State, and I don't think you'll find this surprising, but among the student body had 45 and 49% no-shows for students with tickets to their games. Right? And then they started going through everybody else. Georgia was the one that knocked me back a little bit. At this point, this is 2019 pre-national championship, but Georgia had 27% no-shows among their students to games at Sanford Stadium. Again, pre-national titles. When he got to Clemson, and this writer went around to the various campuses, Clemson, when they won the title in 2018, you know how many games they sold out that year? None. I know that's hard to believe, and when people hear it, they go, really, are you kidding me? And I was taken aback reading the article. None. Now, they had like between 70 and 75,000. They were playing before 90, 95% capacity, whatever, but they weren't sold out in any game for Trevor Lawrence and Clemson in winning the national title. And then he went to Ohio State, and they were playing Penn State that week. And I remember saying to Jack Ham, this is 2019. I said, check that out. I said, look at the upper deck, or look at the upper area to the right, which is the horseshoe side, and the opening. And I said, boy, there's some empty seats up there. Well, it turned out the writer was there for it and said that when he interviewed the students and some of the fans, but interviewed the students, like, well, why not filled? And they said, because Michigan's not in the schedule. Because Ohio State did not sell out all their student tickets in 2019. They said because Michigan was a road game that year. Hmm. So you have to constantly talk to your fans, reach out to your fans, give context. And the other part, too, that you don't know when you're dealing with questions from people, and you don't want to ask, by the way, is the gambling component. The gambling component, to me, is something that is unspoken, and it's not something you can look at somebody and say, yeah, what, did you put money in the game? But I've made the point many, many times, and I have no idea. For all I know, Tyler from Spartanburg hasn't gambled a dime in his life, so I don't know. But I'm throwing that out there in terms of the opinions that fans have about games. Are they more biting in criticism when something doesn't go right? Because they're passionate about the team? Or is it factored in that they put money on the game and didn't win? Everything becomes exponentially more personal when your money is involved. And again, for all I know, Tyler from Spartanburg hasn't gambled a dime in his life. So please, I'm not saying that this is the reason why. I'm saying moving forward in this business, it is something I do think about when we're sitting there. And if you're getting really pointed questions, or the person asking is like, okay, they're angry, so I appreciate the passion, but are they angrier because they lost money on it? I may be completely wrong and wet in thinking that, but it is something that does run through my mind. Also remember, too, that when they're talking to Jack, Brian, and myself, all right, they're more pointed with us than they would be if the coach was sitting there. Now, I've known that forever. You know, I've sat out there when Joe Paterno was the head coach, and they would say things to us in the pregame show when they didn't win a game or something like that, that they would never say to Joe. They'd be too intimidated to say it to Joe. Us, we know it's a different thing. Yeah, look, we sit there, we understand, I got it. But that's a fact. I mean, you know, please don't tell me it's not a fact. Believe me, it's a fact. All right? People would tippy toe around whatever. But with us, you know, they don't feel they have to. And believe me, we're the first ones that understand that. So, Dabo got angry. And I think he got angry because it became personal. I think he got angry is that he brought up the money and the record. I think he got angry because he brought up Proverbs. I think he got angry because he said that he feels he's changed as a person since 2018. I mean, those are all he got personal with him. Okay. Now, for Clemson, I admire people who do have standards. And Dabo Swinney has tried to stick to a standard. And the standard he has, let's start with this. I cannot in any way speak to plus or minus on the NIL front with Clemson. I have no idea what their NIL situation is. You know, I know they've got a lot of generous people at IPTE, which is the Clemson version of the Nittany Lion Club. But when it comes to NIL, I can't answer it. But the one thing that is obvious is that he wants to stick to the formula of recruiting guys, keeping guys, developing guys, and not using the transfer portal. That is something that has come up. And he has stayed away from it. And when you look at, let's take Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. Michigan has rebuilt its offensive line this season with transfers. I think three of their starters are transfers. But most of the rest of the team are guys that they brought in and recruited. Okay. He had a lot of transfer quarterbacks until J.J. McCarthy. Ohio State, not many transfers. Chip Traynham's a transfer. Simmons, the left tackle, is a transfer from San Diego State. But for the most part, no. Here at Penn State, really the same thing. Yeah, Johnny Dixon came in a couple of years ago. Yeah, Chop Robinson. Trey Potts, who's the third running back. Malik McLean is obviously, and Dante Cephas getting some run at wide receiver. But, you know, they've been selective with it. Clemson hasn't been selective at all with it. And to me, that would be the criticism above all. If I had a criticism for Clemson, would be, hey, look, are you using all the resources the NCAA allows you to build a team? And, you know, and he's tried to stick it with it the way he wants to stick with it. But you have to also have to have the ability in any profession to have a level of adaptability. And in that area, when it comes to the transfer portal, Dabo Swinney has not had the adaptability, and I feel like that's the part that's costing him. Look at Florida State. They rebuilt their wide receiver core, and I can't remember who the other guy is on the outside where he came from, but they got Keon Coleman from Michigan State, and he's made a big difference to Jordan Travis. No question. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. And again, that's something, I mean, we have to be aware of. I mean, in this era where now Jeez, I think we're up to 37 or 38 states plus the District of Columbia of gambling. More and more people are putting money on games. Okay, well, guess what? When you end up not winning and you feel like they blew it for you, didn't cover over and under, whatever it may be, I think it increases your level of, because it becomes personal. Becomes personal. Okay. I mean, the last thing you expect is when it becomes that personal because you lost, okay, it's a problem. I don't know. It's a factor that has to be at least thought about. I mean, it's a factor that at least has to be considered. And I don't know if Tyler from Spartanburg has gambled a dime in his life. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he's just concerned about where the program is, and that's it, just in conversation that comes up. I mean, it certainly came up in other years when gambling wasn't a factor and wasn't legal. You know, outside of Atlanta, you know, offshore Atlantic City or, you know, Las Vegas. By the way, speaking of gambling lines, Northwestern and Iowa. Okay, now, Jack Ham and I have been looking at this because neither one of us has an interest in gambling. But the Iowa thing is so intriguing. The Iowa Northwestern over-under is 29.5. I've never seen anything like that low. That's combined points for two teams. Wow.